When I was a little bitty baby, my mama would rock me in the cradle in them old cotton fields back home.
We had a listener call in. What were the details? They were on a cotton tour in Mississippi. And if you've ever been on the Mississippi River, you can't, you'd never know there was fish in it by looking. It's a muddy river.
Yeah, our listener said he'd been on a tour down the Mississippi River and bought a t-shirt called Mississippi Mud because it's that cotton is the color of the bank. It's pretty cool.
That is cool.
Kind of reminds me of the dirt shirts that you see in Sedona, too.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, cotton. Back in the 50s, we were growing 700,000 plus acres. That number's down now around 160?
160, 65,000. I think that peak cotton acreage was in the 1980s, Paco. Is that correct? But anyway, we got up to 700,000. Now we're quite a bit down. But our per yield, our acre... per acre yield is higher, despite the fact that we've got less acres in cotton.
Yeah, I think when I came back 38 years ago, I think our average statewide average yield was about 2.5 bales at 500 pounds, so roughly 1,250 pounds of lint per acre. The state average today is just a little bit over 1,500 pounds, just a little hair over three bales.
Bales to the acre is kind of our measurement on that.
And we had you on a one-segment interview a little over a year ago because we had gone to we were going through a transition and coming back to everything American-made. This shirt, 100% cotton, Schaefer Western wear. I got to order them out of Houston because I can't find American-made Western shirts anywhere else. These jeans, though, these are 100% American-made Kimes out of Scottsdale, Arizona. 100% American made the cotton. Now, I'm not sure. I wanted to get a hold of them, but I didn't because all of their cotton came from the Cone Mill, which is no longer around, but they've got a huge surplus of denim that all gets sewn in L.A., and then they sell it through their local distributors. And I was trying to think, okay, so how can we connect the Kimes to Arizona cotton? Because you know, that's one of their challenges is keeping American-made cotton. And you had some really fun statistics that I didn't think – I asked it sarcastically. And well, no one will know this, but you had the number. You can get out of that 480-pound bale, and you get about 3 bales per acre. But each bale will sew about 215 pairs of jeans. And we'll talk about the process from growing it to actually – the gin process and the machines that pick them, but and all of that to say this blog is a little dated here, but that's enough cotton that Arizona produces for about 97 million pairs of jeans a year.
I knew you'd figure that one out. I love it.
And why cotton is a $160 million industry in Arizona.
Yes. So one of the things that I also, we do export the majority of our cotton because we've offshored, so to speak, some of the manufacturing process, like the milling. We don't have mills like we used to 100 years ago. But because we grow so much cotton and it's such a high quality, and I know the Japanese like our fiber, I've been told that. So I'm always telling myself if I'm getting a cotton blend blouse or certainly some Levi's, I know some of my dad's cotton fiber has to be in that, even if it was manufactured offshore. So because we're doing such a great job here in the United States and certainly in California and Arizona, it comes back to us just in a roundabout way.
Yeah, it really does. In fact, I was in Southeast Asia 2 years ago with Cotton Council International on a tour, and we were talking about sustainability and responsible growing and a lot of different issues at a couple of different seminars, one in Jakarta, one in Ho Chi Minh City. We also got to get into some mills and got to see, and it's always impressive when you're in Vietnam or if you're in Indonesia and you're in a mill And in the layout room or in their warehouse, there is U.S. cotton in there because it's all tagged and it's all sourced, and you know where it's come. In fact, the tag, you can trace it back to a certain gin in a certain part of the United States. And if you really wanted to go up further, you can trace it right back to the actual grower and back to the actual field where it came from. And to be perfectly honest, we're producing about 20 to 21 million bales a year. We consume about 21 million bales a year worth of durable goods of cotton in the United States, but we're not even spinning 4 million bales. We have enough spinning equivalent to do, I think the latest figures I just saw the other day were like 2.9 million bales.
So wow. So when you were on a year ago, it was 4 million bales we had enough equipment for. And that's now down to 2.7 million?
No, 3.9. I'm sorry. I might have misquoted. But yeah, it's somewhere. It'll fluctuate a little bit. But in a lot of our cotton from Arizona and California, and even there's a lot of high quality cotton comes out of Texas anymore. And especially in West Texas, the Lubbock Panhandle area, they've had some great weather in some years, but a lot of it goes export. Big importers for us are China, Vietnam is up there, Korea, a lot of the Asian countries, and then a little bit goes into Turkey, and a little bit into South America are our major markets anymore for raw cotton.
And we have to have a degree of exports in agriculture because everything we export out, that means greenbacks are coming back to us. So we celebrate local. We promote local a lot. I encourage everyone. I've been very influenced by Kimber Lanning with Local First Arizona to make sure that you get a portion of your budget committed to those local dollars. But in agriculture, if we don't have an export market for our crops, then we can't. That's that other piece of the whole economy that we're considering. It allows us to bring the dollars back into our state and really have that growth. And that's why we can celebrate this $23.3 billion industry, because there's a percentage of our crops that are being exported.
Now, let's talk a little bit about the cotton processing. Well, we talked a little bit earlier about the growing cycle. You'd mentioned about March to October is your plant to harvest. Talk about an individual plant. You brought in what looked like you cut this off out of the field this morning.
No, actually, I cut it out last night because I didn't really want to go out on the farm. Everything's so wet and muddy out there. I didn't want to track mud into the studio, but what I did is I pulled a plant, and I looked for a plant to where I could show you a little bit of everything. It's got open bowls. It has immature bowls. It has bowls that are still filling, and it still has squares, which is the very beginning, because you have a square. It's the fruit. It's the piece of fruit, and eventually it'll produce a flower. And if that flower pollinates, then it develops into a small bowl. And if an insect, such as we were talking about insects earlier, a ligus doesn't sting it and suck the life out of it, they feed on them. It will continue to grow and develop and mature to the point to where you've got an open bowl and then you've got cotton, like you say, in your hand. What you have is most cotton on upland varieties, which is what we're talking about, or short staple. The bowls will be 4 or 5 locks. You want to look for seed development because the seed is really where the fiber comes from. I'm looking for somewhere between 8 and 9 seed counts per lock in a bowl.
And then lock is that? Those little sections.
Yeah.
Right.
You pulled the fiber out of one lock, I believe, Romy. And there should be, hopefully, if you really started pulling it apart, I would hope that there's 8 or 9 seeds in there. I didn't fact check anything last night after I pulled this plant. So I hope I pulled it. I noticed there was a lot of 5-lock bowls, though. That was one of the things that impressed me with it. So then the fiber grows out from the seed.
And how do you separate the fiber and the seed? I mean, I have been sitting here playing with this the entire segment, and I haven't got one seed out yet.
Well, it's After you've picked it and it goes to the gin, they run it through a couple of cleaners in the gin to remove some of the burrs or the locks and some of the sticks and leaf material as best they can. And then it goes into the ginning process, and it's basically a gin is a bunch of saw blades that are parallel to each other. And most stands, gin stands, I think, are about 150 saw blades, and they're spaced about 3/8 of an inch to 1/4 inch apart. There's a rib between them, and then there's like a stationary knife at the bottom of this. And the key for the gin is to get this coming down, falling from up above, and you get what you call a seed roll, and it starts the lint, the seed itself just starts rolling, and those knives or the teeth on those saw blades are literally pulling that fiber away from that seed. It won't completely clean it up. Upland seed will always be fuzzy when it comes out of the gin. And they have to acid delint it for us to process it for the seed, for planting seed for the following year. Cattle, they just throw it and they grind it with other feed and you can feed it. Pima seed does come out almost lint-free.
And Pima seed is the long staple.
The long staple or the Pima seed, as we call it. And it's black seed, and it does literally. And it's a different process. They don't run it through a saw gin. They run it through a roller gin. Used to use rhinoceros hide in the process, but they use a synthetic material on the roller today.
Shortage in rhinoceros hides.
Yes, yeah, exactly. So
it's more of a complex process than we realize.
And how long does that take to get the seed, that whole process with the knives? I mean, is this a 5-minute process that it can run through per bowl?
The gins measure it in bales per hour coming out the gin. And so my particular gin, you haul a module in, the big rectangular modules, and there'll be roughly 12 to 13 bales in there, seed, cotton, and lint all together with all the trash. And a little bit of luck, you'll come out with about 37-38% lint. And out of that lint, I think the factor is 1.5 pounds of lint. You multiply the lint times 1.5 will give you your seed weight. And then there's a little bit of trash that comes out that they don't really measure. And then you get what we call linters, which are really fine fibers, and they're real short that nobody wants in the mix. It creates problems at the spinning mills. So they're eating through a module, probably about 3 or 4 modules an hour. So
that's fast to me. Those modules are big.
And there's some gins that are even higher capacity than that. Big gins, gin stands, as we call them, and they're cranking out somewhere between 75 and 80 bales an hour. So
are there any here in the state? I remember touring one 20 years ago, but it is probably longer ago than that now. I started counting years. It was almost 25.
Yeah, two of the biggest gins in the state are down in Pinal County, Chandler Ginning and River Co-op, and they're both probably about that, anywhere from about 70 bales per hour, plus or minus. Technology is actually accelerating that and reducing the labor in the gin also. Chandler Gin installed a new press last year, so they don't have to have an operator there to pull the bales out. It's all automated. Weighs it, bags it, and everything, where we used to have to do all that by hand.
And you have to remember, cotton is biodegradable.
Yes.
You can, this one farmer, just to prove the point, he buried a pair of 100% cotton underwear, and 2 or 3 months later, the soil used it up, so to speak.
Except for the elastic, right?
Except for the elastic.